Well, good morning. If you'll be turning over to James chapter 2, James chapter 2 will be our text this morning. Appreciate the presence of everyone. Some questions I want to ask. Do you have faith? Is faith more than just saying, I believe in God or I believe in Jesus? Is there a way to know if I have faith? And finally, can others know you have faith? Well, the answer to the last two questions is yes. Yes, there is a way to know if I have faith. That'll be our lesson. And can others know that I have faith? And the answer to that question is yes as well. The answer to question two, if we look at James chapter 2 and verse 19 of James chapter 2 reads, "You believe there is one God, you do well, even the demons believe and tremble." So how would you answer question two? Is faith more than just saying I believe in God or I believe in Jesus? The answer to that question is yes, because even the demons say and know for a fact that God exists, and they believe in God and they believe in Jesus. Now, how do you answer question one? Do I have faith? Well, the answer to that question, we might say, well, that depends. That depends on some things. Whether or not you act on your faith. Whether or not you have faith. Faith is going to produce actions. And those actions in scriptures are called works. Simply put, faith works. So our text this morning is going to be James chapter 2, verse 14 to 26. Let's read it together. James chapter 2, verse 14 to 26. "What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Depart in peace, be warmed and filled,' but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, 'You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works.' You believe that there is one God, you do well, even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled which says, 'Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God.' You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." I count seven questions. The first one there in verse 14. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? Question number 14, or verse 14, sorry. Question 3, if a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, "Depart in peace, be warmed and filled," but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? That's a question. "But do you not know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead?" Question 4. Question 5, "Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar?" Question number 5, verse 21. Question 6, verse 22, "Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect?" And question 7, "Was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way?" So there's these seven questions. And so we're going to answer those because the text gives us the answer. But let's first talk about what is faith. Let's talk about the nature of faith. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, it is probably the closest definition in the scriptures that you can find to what faith is. It's a very challenging word, a very deep word. It's a very individual word. We're not using the word faith as to contend earnestly for the faith once delivered to you. We're talking about an individual's own conviction and belief. And so Hebrews chapter 11 and in verse 1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." And so faith is found, is the foundation that supports something, the substance. It is the substance, the foundation that supports what you hope for. And hope is, of course, what you anticipate, though you do not yet have it or cannot see it. And so for us to have faith, as he's talking about here, as a foundation upon which our hope rests, it is a trust. You cannot talk about faith without a trust that God exists and that his promises are true. And so faith sees things that are not seen, and it is foundational because that then understands the realities of what is promised, the reality that God himself exists, and that we can be assured of what we anticipate, which again, hope is a type of anticipation of some type of good to happen to us. Thus, some versions say the assurance of things hoped for. Some of your versions read that way when I read it. The assurance of things hoped for. So faith is the assurance of things hoped for. It is the conviction, belief, and trust upon which I know what I'm assured of. But faith also manifests itself in one's conviction of things, again, that cannot yet be seen. God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, heaven, things that we do not yet see. And we also know in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, "For it is impossible to believe God without faith." It is impossible to believe, he says, "but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." So without faith, it is impossible. It's an impossibility to even please God. And what does pleasing God mean? Well, pleasing God means that you are obedient, and that's seen in the diligently seek him. You seek God, and of course, when you seek after God, you find that he has a will. And diligence is actually this idea of craving or searching out or seeking out. So with diligence, you search, you seek, you crave out God. And so how do we do that? So the nature of faith is that I trust and have conviction in things that I cannot see, but I'm assured of, and I believe that. And then we see, well, faith, it takes faith to even believe in the existence of God. And if you think about that, that is a big challenge for a lot of people, because because they don't have faith, they just do not believe in the existence of God. But we also have to understand that without that, we cannot please God. But where do you get this faith? How do you come about the kind of faith that we're talking about? Well, that's why Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 is so important, which you know. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So when you get into the Word of God, because that's how God has revealed or manifested himself, this is how we learn who he is. We learn that he knows everything, sees everything. We know that he is love, as Dale emphasized around the table. We know that he's merciful, long-suffering. We also know he's just. We also know he won't acquit the wicked. How do we know these things? Because they're written in the Word of God. And that's where faith comes from, because when we understand the will of God and we read it and comprehend it, well, then that develops our faith. Our faith becomes to, well, I can trust God because I can read where he is trustworthy. I can read of those that trusted in God. I can read about those who did not trust in God and had disastrous outcomes in their life. So how foolish to claim to have faith but not search to know God by studying His Word. Now, I want to say that again. How foolish to profess to have faith. In other words, if I went around a room and said, do you have faith? Yes, I have faith. But listen to what the rest of that says. But I do not search out how to know God by studying His Word. I don't do that. Then how can I profess to have faith? Because that's where faith comes from. And so we have to ask ourselves. That's why it's so important that we challenge ourselves. How much am I studying the Word of God? Not just here in class, but how much do I spend time getting to understand the Scriptures which make me wise unto salvation, that helps my faith develop to where my trust and my conviction is strong? Well, here's another thing that's true about faith. You can measure it. Let's look at a few examples. Look at Matthew chapter 6 and verse 30. So in the context in the Sermon on the Mount, this is when Jesus says, I take care of the birds, I clothe the fields. And then He says this in chapter 6 and verse 30. Now if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? So you can have little faith. You can have little faith to trust that God is going to take care of you. No, I got to get, I'm not going to take care of itself. Do I associate the book, our study of the book of Ecclesiastes surely taught us that we have to trust in God daily for the blessings that we have. At the end of the day, be thankful for the blessings that you have. Craig mentioned the very air that we breathe and the very sun that we shines on us. That's all in God's control. Those are things that God does. But I can have a lack of faith in chapter 6. So I can have a lack of trust. Flip over to chapter 8, and if you look at verse 24 to 26, this is when they're out on the boat. Suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea, and there, so that the boat was covered with the waves, but Jesus was asleep. And the disciples came to Him, awoke Him, saying, Lord, save us, we're perishing. He said to them, why are you fearful, O you of little faith? Then He arose and rebuked the winds and sea, and there was a great calm. So the men marveled, saying, who can this be that even the winds and the sea obey Him? So what is another reason that our faith would be little? Fear. Think about the kind of faith you're going to need should someone say, you can't worship God. Well, I was afraid. Well, our fear causes us to draw back. And then in chapter 14, when Peter, who we know is very much one that's very outgoing, Jesus is walking on the water. Peter wants to get out of the boat, and he wants to walk to Jesus, and he begins walking. Verse 29 of chapter 14, it says, so He said, come. Peter had come down out of the boat. He walked on the water to go see Jesus. And you could just see Peter jump out and start walking, and then all of a sudden, what happens? It says, when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink, and he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus stretched out His hand and caught him and said, oh, you of little faith. Here's another reason why our faith can be little. Why did you doubt? Why did you doubt? We can have doubts that measures our faith. How is my faith? It can be measured. Well, is there a lack of trust? Is there fear? Is there this doubt? But you can also measure great faith, because the centurion, back up to Matthew chapter 8, this is the centurion that Jesus listened to him talk about, listen, my servant is sick. Don't even come to my house. You just say the word. I can tell that soldier right now, you go, and he'll go. And you can look at this situation, because you can heal. Think about the faith he had. You can solve this problem, because I can't, but you can. And you just say it, and it'll be done. And I want you to notice Jesus' response. You already know it in verse 10. Assuredly I say to you. Well, I'm going to back up. Jesus marveled and said to those who followed. Jesus marveled. How do you get the Savior and Creator of the world to marvel? He says, assuredly I say to you, I've not found such great faith, no, not even in Israel. Because the man had faith that Jesus was who he said he was and he could do exactly what he said he could do. So can that be measured? Yes. And then in chapter 15, there's the Canaanite woman. This is the discussion of the woman who says, can I not have the crumbs, you know, from the table? Even the dogs get the crumbs when Jesus said, we don't have anything to do with you. But notice what he said after her response, verse 26. When the disciples saw him, let me get in the right place, 15, verse 26. But he answered and said, it's not good to take the children's bread, throw it to the little dogs. And she said, yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. What did she just do there? Jesus, you're the master. I'll take any crumbs you got. Jesus answered and said to her, woman, great is your faith. Let it be as you desire. So there is great faith. But here's another thing that's important. Luke 15 and verse 5, his disciples said, Lord, increase our faith. But we have to have a desire to increase our faith. So how are you going to do that? How are you going to increase your faith? Well, I would say get into the Word, as we've already established, because that's going to widen and deepen your faith, your strength, your conviction, and that's very important. Teach us, Lord. Teach us, Lord. Increase our faith. Now let's go back to our text and we'll spend our time here. Now questions 1 and 2, we're going to skip. We'll come back to those. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? At this point, we'll just, in the text, we'll just say, you know, I don't know the answer to that question because I don't yet have all the points that he's going to make. Now see, you already know these. But let's just understand that what does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? And at this point, I'd say, well, I don't know. And you think about all your friends and loved ones and families who do not know the answer to that question. Because there's a lot of people that says, oh, I have faith. Oh, wow, I've got faith. I've got a lot of faith. But you remember, can we know? Could we possibly measure it? And how are we going to measure it? Now, question 2 in Bible class, this is the one I was talking about. Look at that again. We'll come back and answer these questions at the end. But this is where I was talking about the point I was making. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? That's a question. Can faith save him? That question is based upon what kind of faith we're talking about. Because how would you answer that question? If I just said, can faith save a person? You'd say, yeah, faith can save a person. But that's not how it's used in context, right? This can faith save him is this one who says he has faith but doesn't have works. Do you understand my point? The second question is contingent upon what he's saying in the first question. All right, so that's that point I was making. So let's go on to question 3. If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Now, you can answer that question. What has it profited that individual who needs something? Let's say they need some bread, and you look at them and say, be warmed and filled, and you don't give them bread. The question is there any profit? And that's just words. That's to no advantage to that individual. So what would the answer to our question be? Nothing. There is no profit. There is no advantage. This is exactly why we say actions speak louder than words. Because I can say, I believe in Jesus, I believe in God, and they just be words. Because people do this all the time. Now, James chapter 1 and verse 27, just back up, he says, true, pure, and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. So just saying, and I want you to think about how we do this. just saying these words, visit the widows and the orphans in their affliction, does that have to be backed up with actually visiting? The answer to that question is yes. Faith that only talks but does not walk is to nobody's advantage. So verse 17 of our text says, thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. So he followed up the question by making that very absolute statement. Faith by itself. You know what that would say? Faith alone. Can faith alone save? Think about how many people say, yeah, that's exactly right. Has nothing to do with anything else. But he says, faith alone by itself is dead. So why is it that so many of our friends and families say something completely different? I don't know. Other than the devil is a good liar, and a lot of people have believed the father of lies. Now, so there's the answer to question three. Now, what about question four? He says, but do you know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Well, let's think about this. Let's look at 18 again. Someone will say, verse 18, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is only one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? So demons believe, but that's not saving faith, is it? That's not the kind of faith that we're talking about. So how does one show their faith? Well, that's why I titled the lesson that I did. Someone will say, show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith, how? By my works. And so you show your faith by your works. So do you have a trusted conviction in God without doubt, that is not fearful, that is going to trust in God? Yes. How do I know? I'll show you my works. And what are works? Works are obedient actions that God has required. You cannot show a person your faith if it does not manifest itself in obedient acts. Isn't that his point? How do you show your works if you don't do anything? Which is why he made the statement, I got all the faith in the world, but you have a need and I didn't give you anything. He says, well, that doesn't work. Neither does faith without works. That's dead. And so what's our answer? Now, what's interesting about this, it depends on whether you understand the truth or not. From here, he says, do you not know, O foolish man? So what's the foolish man not understand? The foolish man doesn't understand that faith without works is dead. So we might answer that question, no, he does not. Do you understand what I'm saying? The foolish man doesn't understand that. But do you know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? It's like, foolish man, no, I didn't know that. But what does that say about the wise man? What's the wise man going to understand? Faith without works is dead. So if I say I have faith and I don't do anything, then I don't have faith. Do you understand that? I don't have the kind of faith that we're talking about. Now, question five is, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac, his son, on the altar? That's verse 22. Well, let's go back to Genesis 22 for just a moment. Hold your place. Let's actually go back to where Abraham was commanded by God to offer up Isaac in Genesis chapter 22. And look at verse 15. So Abraham has done what God has told him to do. Then the angel of the Lord called Abraham a second time out of heaven. He said, by myself I have sworn, saying that the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, blessing I will bless you, multiplying I will multiply you, your descendants, as the stars of heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gates of their enemies. in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. You have obeyed my voice. So was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? The answer to that question is an emphatic yes. Why? Because you obeyed my voice. I told you this to do, and you did it. Abraham's obedience, now look back in our text. And by works, his faith was made perfect. Faith without works is imperfect. So now question six. Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? Do you see that? Do you understand that? Look at Genesis chapter 15. Hold your place. So the answer to that question is yes. It depends on whether you understand the point that he's making. If you answer that, no, I still don't see the point. Well, how do you get the right answer? You go back like we're doing, and you start looking at the scriptures, and you say, well, I better go back and read that story and understand what exactly happened. So here in Genesis chapter 15, verse 5, then he brought him outside and said, look now toward heaven and count the stars if you are able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Abraham believed God. Faith. Powerful faith. When the new law came, God skipped over the law of Moses, and he went all the way back to Abraham and said, that's the faith I want right there. I said to Abraham, your descendants are going to be innumerable. I'm going to give your descendants a land, and from them, everybody's going to be blessed through the seed, Jesus Christ. And Abraham believed that with all of his heart. And here's the amazing thing. He didn't see one, two, or three. He didn't see his descendants grow to a mighty nation. He didn't get the promised land with the nation. And he did not see the Messiah's day, which we live in. But did he believe it? Absolutely. Was he assured of it? Yes, because God said so. And he believed God, and it was counted unto him as righteousness. His works demonstrated that. Leave Ur, the Chaldees, and go. Where am I going? I'll tell you. And he left. Offer your son, your only son. And he did it. And God was pleased. Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? Can you increase your faith to where your conviction and your trust in God is going to be matter of fact? That's what we're striving for. Back in our text, look at verse 24. Verse 24. You see that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Oh, our one passage that says faith only or faith alone, and it says you're not saved that way. You see the lie? Because he says there in verse 24, you see that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Wow, that's powerful. So powerful. So our answer is yes. Now question seven, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out the other way? And the answer to that question is yes. And we can go back and read that also in Joshua chapter 29. Joshua 2, verse 9 to 13. She believed in the God of Israel. And I don't have time now to look at this passage. Jot it down, Joshua 2, 9 to 13. But you remember Rahab the harlot, she actually told the spies, we're all afraid because we know what your God did. And she was willing to leave all of that idolatry and pagan in the city of Jericho to say, I want to be with those people. And so she acted on that belief in Jehovah God. And her actions led her to hide those spies. And her actions led to get her family in that room and hang out the scarlet cord, right? So if you're in the room, we'll save you. Well, aren't you getting in the room and doing what you're, aren't you meeting requirements in a, you know, that's what the requirement, if they weren't in the room, were they going to be saved? No, they wouldn't be saved. So what did they do? They got in the room. An amazing thing is she's in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. So was not Abraham the harlot justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out the other way? And the answer, yeah, she was justified by her works. And so now we have to come back to the first two questions, which to me seems easy to answer now. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith and does not have works? How would you answer that now? You see, after we've gone through the text, the answer is no profit at all. Don't have to scratch my head anymore about that. What about two? Can that kind of faith save him? Answer is no, it cannot. Simply cannot. A faith without works is dead. It's unprofitable. And then look at the last verse, verse 26. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. When the spirit leaves the body is dead. Period. And he says that's what faith is. You remember Jerry Clower, it's graveyard dead. Faith without works is graveyard dead. Faith alone cannot save. And that's Satan's lie. But the truth is, faith works. I will show you my faith by my works. Is that for me to show off myself? Of course not. We understand, no. That's to the glory of God. It's not about me. It's me being obedient to God because I believe Him, I love Him, I trust Him. And so obeying the gospel is just that. It's being obedient to what God has instructed us to do to be saved. Believe in His Son, Jesus Christ. Confess that belief in Jesus Christ. Turn from your sins. You can't continue in sin. And be baptized. Be immersed in water and come up out of the water, having your sins washed away. That's why Saul was told, arise, you know, be baptized, wash away your sins. Why are you tarrying? The eunuch said, here's water, what hinders me from doing that? Because that's the means by which sins are washed away. Is that me doing any more than being obedient to the commands? Is it not a manifestation of my work, of my faith? It is. Did I do something that God owes me? Of course not. My faith was obedient, and God accounts that to righteousness. When I do what He says and I come up out of the water, my sins are washed away. I'm a new creature. The Lord adds me to His church. And we looked the other day, the very church that He's going to save. You might be here this morning and you have not done that. Why do you tarry? Why not do it now? If you're a child of God, your faith is wavering. It's not as it should be. We're here to help, to encourage. If there's sin that's hindering you and separating you, if we can help anyone in any way, we invite you to come as we stand and sing.